$91.4 million to infrastructure initiatives throughout the past 14 years. Parks, playgrounds, police, and fire, all for a penny. By adding that penny to each dollar spent in Sarasota County, both visitors and Northport residents have been bringing tangible benefits into our community. Now, Surtax 3 is coming to a close. Surtax 4 can bring about the thriving, dynamic developments that make Northport unique.
The opinions expressed in the following program do not reflect the views of WKDW Radio, KDWRadio.com, nor the views of our generous supporters.
I am home. I had a 2-month, I don't know, sabbatical, is that what they call that? But I was actually broadcasting, if you follow this time slot and this show. I was basically here every day. I did miss probably 4 shows, I think, because I couldn't find the internet. Or Wednesdays is one of those days here at our radio station where we do not have staff here during the day. And so in order for me to do a telephone interview type program where I call into the radio station, they just patch me through, I need somebody here. And unfortunately, we are a 501c3. We're a nonprofit. And some days we just don't have anybody here. So anyway, I'm here today, and I am going to welcome my guest after I do traffic and weather. But his name is Dennis. Hi, Dennis. He is here. We're going to be talking about things, about things going on in this city, in this country, and in the world. And so we're going to start off with a little bit of weather here in Northport, Florida. It's 83 luscious degrees outside. I will tell you, this is probably the warmest I've been in a month and a half, and I'm loving it. I'll be honest with you. It is 82 degrees, feels like. Let me see what the feels like temperature is. 86 degrees. It's only 57% humidity. The pressure is falling. Visibility is 9 miles. If you're not down here in Southwest Florida, you're missing the best time of Florida. You know, once the heat breaks a little bit and the rain stops, It can be really pleasant here. And that's what we have had for the last couple of days. It's going to inch up a little bit in the heat index as we go through the week, and I'll get on that. Right now, winds are out of the east at 8 miles an hour. Dew points at 66. UV index is a 5 out of 10. And we look like we got about a 15% chance of rain right through the rest of today. Looking at Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we look like 85 on Wednesday, 81 on Thursday. Thursday should be a little bit cloudy as that approaching cold front comes through. 77 is the high on Friday with a 60% chance of rain. Saturday is really when the temperature drops, 76.
That's cold for down here.
That's cold for down here. Absolutely.
I'm telling you.
59 at night. So that'll be like Saturday morning after the front moves through. 34% chance of rain on Saturday. So hopefully that'll be more morning time. Sleep in a little bit, but then get up. And traffic. No accidents being reported. Everything is really good on the river bridges. And I was coming over here, went past the high school. Kids are getting out of school now, so please be careful. I will tell you this, traveling that I did, Florida is probably the only state, maybe Alabama, I don't remember, but where they allow you to have something in your hand. Most of them will say, you must have a hands-free device in order to use your phone. Here in Florida, if you are caught with a phone in your hand in a school zone or a work zone, it's expensive, like $280, $300. So
it should be more than that, especially when people are texting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, and that's just if they catch you with it in your hand. If you cause an accident or if you unfortunately hurt someone, and I'm talking about kids or workers on the road, you should just not have a really good life after that. Because it's not necessary to be texting while you're doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Can you agree with that?
I have a bad habit. If I see somebody texting, whatever, I roll my window down and I shake my phone at them and shake my head no sideways and shake my phone at them. I haven't got shot yet, but who knows?
Not exactly.
Wow. I did not have my mic on just right. And so anyway, traffic and weather is brought to you by TaxWise Strategies. If you have the need for a strategy in your tax life, that means that you're not getting all the deductions. You're not building for the future. What we do at TaxWise Strategy is take your income. We take that income and we then help you buy assets with that income, and those assets will start generating wealth. If you want wealth, generational wealth, you need a tax strategy. Give us a call, 941-254-6547. Wow.
What's that number one more time?
941-254-6547.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Absolutely. All right, so Mr. Hi Dennis, if anybody doesn't know, he also has a radio show here, but we won't talk about it because evidently there are people associated with his radio show up the line a little bit, not here at the radio station. But regardless, they kind of tell him what they want him to say and what not to say.
Well, not really, but they get very picky.
Yeah,
and they drive me crazy, but
so we're going to try to keep.
We started
him.
Our fourth year, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
With the Master Gardener Radio Hour, which you can hear it Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, Thursday night at 6:30, and 1 o'clock Friday morning. We are the only program out of WKDW 97.5 that airs three times a week.
Yeah, three times. Well,
same program.
The same program. I have 3 days, but it's three different programs. So anyway, wow. What is going on in our country? There's too many things for me to talk about, but I will say this. In my travels, I met one person. Now, I mean, when you pull into a, I'm hearing that over there all of a sudden, but don't worry about it. Just stay. It's not that big of a roar. anyway, when you pull into a campsite, You know, there are people that have their little shingle hung out that tells, you know, Barb and John from Pawtucket, Rhode Island or something, right? And, you know, it was one of those things that just kind of surprised me because the number of political signs that were, people were just freely displaying. And now some weren't as prominent as others, but today in the state of Virginia, so if I have any Virginia listeners out there, please go out and vote. And please vote for Youngkin. He is the Republican. He is the one that is taking on the Terry McAuliffe, which is a deep, traditional liberal from way back in the Bill Clinton's days. And he's trying to run for the Virginia gubernatorial race and was basically seen as a shoe-in. Now, I spent 3 weeks, 3 weeks of my 2 months I spent in Virginia. And I was in East Virginia, I was in West Virginia, I was in North Virginia, and I was in South Virginia. In that amount of time, I guarantee you I saw less than a half dozen Terry McAuliffe signs. But Youngkin signs, and I had never even knew who Youngkin was, they were almost as prevalent as Trump Pence signs are here. And it's amazing. I think, you know, I did not spend a lot of time in Richmond, I will say. I didn't spend a lot of time in Alexandria, or those areas right around the Washington, D.C. area. But I don't know how they're going to vote, and those are very democratically controlled areas. But almost every other area, and I do mean east, north, south, and west, even around the Norfolk area, even around the Newport News area, the Chesapeake area, Youngkin was just, you know, kicking butt. If you take yard signs and placards and bumper stickers to heart. Now, you typically saw a bunch of those during the Trump run up to the election in 2020, and he didn't win. So you can't judge it by that, but I will tell you, it's really interesting to sit there and see just the dichotomy of how Virginia must be.
Did you have a chance to go to the Democratic cemeteries? No. They all vote Democratic, yeah, you know, absolutely. Every year since they died. You know that.
Exactly. Yeah. And no, I didn't. I am kind of like, rest in peace. Don't come back out and vote. So I didn't want to bring up anything. But one of the situations that's happening, and we're starting to see it, it's starting to take effect. You know, the military, different government workers, some of the city workers in these different liberal-controlled cities gave November 1st as a date, drop-dead date. You either be vaccinated or stay home. You're being maybe not terminated, but you're not allowed to come to work. And so they really decided this is what, you know, I guess this is the rock they're going to stand on, vaccinations. Well, Vax Rebellion bites. Okay, from Boeing to Mercedes, workers are refusing to come in. It has almost been a flat line. Once they decided this is the bridge we're going to defend, vaccine mandates, people have said, okay, well, if that's where you're going to say it, we're going to show you. And so workers are not coming into work.
I just heard today that the police in New York City,
yeah,
they had the mandate, and they didn't follow through what they said. My understanding is there's only 34 of them that stood their ground. It didn't take the so-called vaccine.
Well,
so that's a kind of a kick there. But on the other side of the coin, no, there is no other side of the coin. You know, it's your body, your choice.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And if you want to get it, I mean, I've got it. And I decided that was right for me. And but you know, if you don't want
I'm luckier than most people because I got the COVID. I only had it for 6 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had the proper things, you know, to take care of it.
Well, you know, and mine was more, you know, not because I think I'm going to get it. You know, I don't get the flu. I have been around too many people that had the COVID, and I never got it. And I mean people that had it bad, and I never got it before I got vaccinated. But, you know, this is the striking thing. You know, we're in this cancel culture right now where you can't discriminate against anybody for anything. Well, let me tell you something. Life is the big equalizer. Life discriminates vehemently. They do on every single life. Mother Nature discriminates. Why do we know that? Because the majority of people that have suffered and died have comorbid conditions. And those are typically diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, you know, other things. Now, has anybody that didn't have those died? Absolutely.
Not right? Many.
And, but you hear all the time about people that are marathon runners dropping dead, or they're just world-class athletes. You know, Len Bias. Remember Len Bias? He played for Maryland and was going to, and he had a heart issue. And he died. Other players, you know, that their exertion caused their body. I mean, life does not think one person is equal to the other because there are certain things. But majority of what I'm trying to say is the reasons these people had those comorbid conditions is because of what they did. You know, obesity, you can sit there and say, oh, I got a bad gene. Well, then you need to work on that gene and not eat and exercise more. Now, are there skinny people and can eat anything in the world? Yes. And there's people that can eat a bird's feed and gain weight. Well, guess what? You need to work on that. That's what everybody does. There's people more susceptible to cancer than others. There's people that are more susceptible to alcoholism than others. That's individualistic.
I think that's a problem with retirement myself.
Yeah. Well, I know too many people that never retired and you know. All I'm saying is
something that really bothers me is that we know that there are people that get the vaccines that are perfectly healthy, and all of a sudden they double over with something. Not all people are the same. A lot of people don't have comorbidities.
Yeah, but when you're talking 87% of the people that have been affected harshly by this virus had comorbid conditions.
What scares me is the 13% of the airline pilots that have had the shots and haven't shown any indication that there's a problem, and all of a sudden they pass out in the cockpit of the plane or they get the jitters or something. That scares me.
Yeah, because of blood clots. This vaccine has been shown to in certain people, not in everybody. But you don't want your pilot that really might not need the shot to be forced to take the shot. I mean, I don't necessarily know I want my chef to be doing that, somebody cooking my food to, you know, fall over in my soup. I mean, I don't want police officers to do that, firemen to do that. You know, if you take care of yourself, there's a better than average chance, a 13 out of 100% chance that you will not have any issues whatsoever. And that is not even a true number. I'm talking about people that have a serious, it's less than a 2% infection rate. As far as, I mean, you know, having a serious condition. There's a ton of people that have been, you know, diagnosed as having the either the antibodies or have the actual virus, but they didn't know it. I mean, had no symptoms whatsoever.
Sometimes it's like a common cold. When I had it, I lost my sense of taste and smell on the third day, and I said, oh, dear. But I have done a lot of reading on it, a lot of research, and I was prepared. I had my zinc. I had my vitamin D, which I took every day, 5,000 units a day.
Right.
My vitamin C, started chewing those like crazy. And I also had quercetin, however it's pronounced, and that acts like imidacloprid, not imidacloprid, that's a pesticide, ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
It works the same as ivermectin and or hydroxychloroquine, which doesn't allow the spike at the end of the spike protein at the end of the spike
right.
to attach to the cell.
Yeah.
And that's how it gets in. So it prevents that. And some other natural things that I do, by the sixth day, I got my sense of taste and smell back. And the seventh day, I felt like $1 million.
Well, you know, and I've had people that have, been relatively healthy, unvaxxed, and got it, and swear up and down, if they had it to do it again, they would get vaccinated. And that's all well and good. I am trying to say, I am not an anti-vaxxer. I got vaccinated. I can't be an anti-vaxxer. But let me tell you something. Liberty is what I'm talking about. There's no proof that you will get it any worse. I mean, there are people dying from being vaccinated and still getting COVID. Now, they swear up and down it's less, but there are people that are dying. And there's people that are unvaccinated, get it, and never have a symptom. You can't, I mean, is there something that would drive somebody to say, I want to do it? That's their personal choice. You're injecting something in their body. Why would you not give them the right to say yes or no? Well, because it doesn't matter to the vaccinated. It's kind of like, well, you know, if why are we getting vaccinated if you still run the same risk?
I got all that, and I agree with you. However, we are in a situation in this country here where we're not getting all the pertinent facts and figures
in a
timely manner. Sometimes they're skewed. God forbid if, you know, Big Pharma would give us accurate numbers. But I have a tendency to look at what's happened in Israel, because Israel is now the country that has the highest percentage of vaccinated people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting their results out, and they're not skewed. And they're finding out now that the unvaccinated people are the ones that are not carrying the COVID as much as the vaccinated people are. There's a lot of medical reasons for it, but if you go in and do the research and get into the CDC and search out some of these things, the data is actually out there. But people don't want to take the time to search it out. And unfortunately, they
cherry pick what they give us.
Yeah, and then they get off on the tangent. It's crazy, you know. It's like you say, personal choices. But when you look at the whole scenario of things, viruses are not new. They've been around since Christ created apples.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this, is that due to all the pressures we've had, they now have turned the masks into something that's almost called like an amulet. You know, you wear the garlic around your neck, the vampires aren't going to bother you. You wear a mask, you're not going to get COVID. Well, that's a lot of crap old.
Yeah, exactly, because these cloth ones we're wearing,
they don't work. They don't work. And I'll tell you something. If you know somebody that vapes, this is really funny. If you know somebody that vapes, have them put on a real good, what they consider a real good mask, and tighten it up to their face. Have them pick the bottom up. Have them take a snort on that vape thing and put their mask on. Have them exhale. It comes out all over the sides, up under the glasses.
Yeah.
You can see it.
Well, you only need to go out in a cold morning up north, and you'll see the same thing.
I'm not going up there.
Well, I mean, you know, there were mornings that it got down into the 30s, and people had their mask on, and this, you know, the vapor from their breath is all over everywhere. And I'm going, and guess what? The particles of that virus is even smaller than that.
Yeah, they go right through the mask. But, you know, if people have it as a crutch.
It is.
And then
it's a feel-good, and they know that.
Yeah. Well, it's a feel-good thing, you know, and you see somebody drive around the car by themselves.
Well, you know, and I'm all about encouraging. Listen. You know, I don't wear a mask unless somebody asks me to. But I will. It's not like I'm going to say, F you, I'm not wearing a mask because I have a right not to wear a mask. I'm not that kind of person. If I go in, I have a client, and they say, well, I prefer you to wear a mask. Or I go into a business, and they say, I'd prefer you to wear. Guess what? I wear a mask. If I really want that service, I will wear a mask.
Well, that's what a decent person does. But they don't, you know, but you shouldn't be attacked either because you're wearing or not wearing a mask.
No, you shouldn't. It's called a personal choice. And
we don't have that anymore in our country.
Well, and that's what we need to talk about, because right now it's a tyrannical control of the populace message. And it's kind of like, you know, they don't care that they're ruining the economy. And how are they ruining the economy? Well, you know, American Airlines, since this weekend, has canceled 1,700 flights.
What happened to Southwest?
Well, and I'm talking about this weekend. That was a couple of weekends ago.
I was caught in that. I was flying up north. I got caught in that.
Okay.
And we heard three or four rumors, and a couple of days later, they found out the pilots walked off and the controllers walked off.
Exactly, because it's like, and it's not just pilots. Guess what? You can't do that without air traffic controllers, and can't do that without baggage handlers and ticket agents and all sorts of people. The planes. I mean, people that, you know, gas them up. You can't run an airline just with pilots. They can't do it all. You know, if you've got flight attendants, and flight attendants are almost having to become, you know, sheriffs in the sky. And people are getting crazy and telling people they got to wear a mask or I'm not wearing a mask. And we just need to calm down a little bit because, you know, it's a personal issue, personal liberty. It is a personal liberty issue. And unfortunately, the government is making it to where we know best, you'll do what we say, and they're purposely trying to screw this economy. Now, the economy isn't great. We did have a 2% GDP. I've always mistrusted government reporting of any numbers, but one of the figures that is literally tied to our production is cars, right? I mean, that is one of the we very rarely manufacture TVs in America anymore. We don't manufacture very many appliances anymore here. One of the things we still manufacture are cars.
We don't manufacture brown beer bottles anymore. They all come out of Mexico.
There you go.
Got to figure that one out.
But cars are a large part of our GDP. A large part of our GDP. And let me tell you something. Car manufacturing is falling off the roof, falling off a cliff. Why? Because workers, and they're mainly unionized, are saying, I don't want to do it. You can't make me do it. And guess what? We'll walk out. And the people that might be masked and vaccinated and everything else, they're still union. And they'll walk out with their brothers, sisters. I don't know. I'm still a brother and sister kind of a deal. I'm not the 39 other genders that they have to worry about. But what I'm saying is you will find that things are starting to get more and more. When I was traveling, you know, one of the things that just surprised me the most? The price of rental cars. I'm talking about in Podunk, you know, what is it, Buena Vista. Do you know where Buena Vista, Virginia is?
No, not particularly.
Okay. Most people probably would run right past this on I-81, going from Tennessee all the way up to you know, somewhere in Pennsylvania, and you go through this little town, gorgeous little town. It's a mountain town, beautiful vistas, Buena Vista. Good views is the name of the town. And we tried to get a rental car. The biggest city near them is Lexington, which is only about 5 miles away. $125 a day for an economy car, which you know, would typically be able to get for $30-$40 a day.
Well, you know the answer for that.
Yeah, well, during COVID, they went and sold all their stuff, yeah. And because they couldn't rent, nobody was traveling, so they sold all
down, nobody had jobs.
Right, and so now they can't get them back, and you know, it's a supply and demand issue, but it's been up, I want to say, 89% is the value of a rental car the rise. Now, they count rental cars as part of GDP. Well, not GDP, but the inflation rate. How many people rent cars? A lot of people rent cars. So they use that as one of those things in the bucket for inflation. That's why inflation, one of them, is going up so much.
Why don't they include food and gas?
That's too volatile, they say.
Yeah, it's very volatile. Yeah. it makes the numbers very volatile.
It makes the numbers very volatile. But, you know, instead of saying, okay, look at Florida. We've never had a mask mandate. We fought to the nail to ever have a mask mandate. And we're not doing bad. Now, we have fluctuations just like everybody else. We are the 50th out of 50 states in the number of COVID infections now. We're last in the number of new COVID infections. Why? And we don't have a mask mandate. So why wouldn't you look at, okay, what didn't Florida do that all these other places didn't? They targeted people. They targeted at the very beginning. Whenever COVID and we didn't have anybody getting vaccinated, they said, okay, we need to segregate older people and make sure that if they're in a nursing home or if they're in a assisted living facility, we keep them protected. We don't, you know, we didn't allow parents to come, I mean, kids to come see their parents. That was distressing, but it kept them safe. Whenever they got a vaccine, what did they do? The first one is anybody over 65 years old. And they started working it down. And as soon as they got a larger number, whenever the monoclonal antibodies came out, they started opening up monoclonal antibody sites here. And it was free.
Governor Cuomo doesn't agree with you on that. You know that, right?
Well, I'm sorry. Governor Cuomo is a sex offender, and he's getting ready to be arrested.
Well, not only that, there's other issues now. If a person was elderly, had to go to the hospital,
yep.
Diagnosed with COVID, well, they weren't worth anything, so send them back to the nursing home. That's the reason why so many thousands of people died.
Meanwhile, we had the Jacob Javits Center with over 3,000 beds that were like 0.1% being filled. They could have put all of those elderly people in the New York City area because, you know, that's one thing that you got to understand. If you would have gone anywhere upstate, COVID wasn't that big of a deal. If you went around the metropolis of New York, it was a real big deal. Why? Because Cuomo did what Cuomo did. And so did de Blasio. We had, what was it that Trump gave them?
The ship Hope?
Hope, USS
Hope. How many guys? 1,000-bed ship?
It was 1,800-bed ship.
1,800-bed ship. And how many beds did they fill?
I heard it was less than 500, but I might be...
It was hardly a scratch.
Yeah.
Hardly a scratch.
I mean, and that was over the time that it was there. So, I mean, they could have filled 1,800 that day. And why not? If you're sending sick people back to places that aren't sick, then, I mean, is that just absolutely out of the realm of common sense?
Well, you know, sometimes... Why do they call it common sense when it's so uncommon? It's something I could never rationalize.
Well, I think common sense goes the same way as cliches. You know, I've always, people say, oh, you're using a cliche. You know why cliches work? Because they've been proven to work. That has been there since, like you said, God made apples. I mean, you know, if it's true, it's, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's been true since, I guess, old ages or whatever, when they made up that term. But now, all of a sudden, words hurt.
Well, that's because there's not a lot of truth out there anymore in what we read or see.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the one thing that's getting even worse for me is the announcement. And this came out of the Wall Street Journal. And I guess, you know, we're starting to hear leaks. You know, when you were a Trump fan, you wondered why are there so many people leaking so much from Trump's White House, right? Or the, you know, whatever department they were in. And it's just because these people like to be relevant, I guess. Well, now it's starting to happen with Biden. And, you know, we have this couple of months ago, there was a phone call that Biden had with the Afghanistan leader, and he basically knew that the Taliban was going to be there in a few days, and they leaked this conversation. Well, now they're denying everything, but they got the transcripts of it, you know, kind of like the same transcripts that they gave, they impeached Trump over, you know, when that was the quid pro quo. All it was transcripts. And the transcripts even showed it wasn't a quid pro quo. Well, these transcripts show that Biden knew.
Yep.
And he didn't do anything about it.
I don't think he's...
So now...
able to think that clearly right now.
Oh, you know, that is part and parcel, I think, of what we need to decide. Do I want Kamala Harris to be my president? No. And I think she would step in it probably bigger than Biden, because I think she's just a fool. And I'm sorry, she hasn't shown where she has any ability to grasp anything. And I think, you know, people saw her, the Democrats saw her as somebody that didn't grasp concepts very well.
She dropped out of the primary
before she had one delegate.
Yeah,
she got less than 2%. And now she is one heartbeat away.
Yeah, from running our country further.
Running the world.
Further into the ground. We're not number one in the world anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're probably as close to being correct on that statement. Anyway, it has now come out through the Wall Street Journal that the Biden administration, because whenever the people on the southern border came through, and it happened with Obama, it happened with, you know, Trump, and it's happening now. Whenever there were people coming and you had some kind of determination to make, is this your kid or not, they separated the child from the parent. And I guess some NAACP-type civil rights lawyers here in America decided, well, there's a way we can get this and screw the government. We'll sue to say that what they did was illegal. Now, it's amazing to me. It's perfectly legal here in the United States. If you as a parent did something wrong and you have a child at home, they're going to take your child. They're going to separate you and the child, put you in jail.
Exactly.
And so that's perfectly legal. But now there's a group of immigrants, illegal immigrants, people that were undocumented, not coming here in any legal way, that they couldn't verify that this was their child. Now, I fully understand maybe in Guatemala or Honduras or where you're, you know, they might not have the documentation, or they might have left in a, but you got to understand they're trying to protect your child, right? Would you want your child in the hands of slave traders or sex trade slave traders? So they separate them. Now they're suing. The Biden administration is in negotiations, and literally this is not something that just began. They reported that it's in basically decision settlement time in these lawsuits. They don't want to go to court. So they're trying to make a settlement, $450,000 per person that they will give.
That's absolutely ludicrous. And that's our taxpayer money, by the way.
You know, what really ticks me off the most, a veteran that has a situation in combat or in a training accident, maximum value of their life insurance. Do you know what that is?
$18,000?
$400,000.
Oh, $400,000.
They can get up to that. That's the absolute maximum. But they had to die to get that. All these guys, now, see, the danger most people aren't deciding, well, you know, Rich, that might be, will teach our government. No, it won't. It will not. Our government changes every 2 to 5 years, 2 to 4 years. You know, typically the opposing party will get in on the off-year elections, and somebody will get elected in the four-year election for governors or for presidents or whatever. It changes all the time. So don't sit there and say it'll teach our government, because nobody ever even considered giving an illegal alien a gift of $450,000 for walking across our border illegally. And now you're sitting there saying, oh, but if you bring a kid and the kid doesn't act like he's your parent, your kid, and you don't act like his parent, and they separate you, now all of a sudden we will have half the world's population coming down the south border carrying some semblance of a kid.
They're already doing it.
Well, but there's still a lot of non, and I agree with you, there's a ton of them. And why? Because somebody in these, I'm going to tell you right now, we shouldn't even worry about politicians anymore. We need to worry about the lawyers. These lawyers are going and tell them, they're going down there in Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador and tell them, grab the first kid you can off the street, come up, and we can get you some money.
You know, I'll tell you, from my experience, I have lived in Mexico, and I have spent a lot of time in the country of Colombia. And the very first thing that happens when you go to Mexico is that you go there legally. If they catch you illegal, you go to jail. They don't fool around, and you do not want to go and spend one or two or three or four nights in a Mexican jail. Number one, they don't feed you, there's no sanitation, and you're glad to have a cockroach come by, because that's probably your only source of protein for a couple, 3 days. It's nothing like
the jails. And people fighting for them.
And they tell you, don't get involved in anything political. Do not ever walk or burn a flag. They'll take you right out and shoot you.
But, you know, the thing is, there was a caravan of these. This was only a couple of weeks ago. A caravan of, I want to say, 4,000 or 5,000 heading down some street, and the Mexican government put up a barricade. They bum-rushed the Mexican military, right, and broke through. And I'm thinking, you'll kill an American for doing that. I mean, they will kill their own countrymen for doing something like that. Like you say, burning a flag. What do you think bum-rushing a whole, 400 or 500 police officers and military people are doing? They're telling you absolutely go yourself.
Yep.
But they won't do anything.
I tell you, take a couple of them down with some grainage to their heads or something like that, they would stop and just think about what they're doing. But unfortunately, there's rules and nobody backs them up. There's laws. The funny part about it.
No, I don't want, and I know what you mean by grainage, different grains of bullets, but there are tons and tons and tons of non-lethal ways. I didn't see one can of tear gas. I didn't see one, the military has these huge radiating, it causes heat on the body. It doesn't burn you, but just gives you that sensation, and it will make you run as fast as you can the opposite way. Okay, I'd get 6 or 8 of them along the road and start pointing them to them. It doesn't cause long-term effects. They do the same thing with sound. Whereas, it doesn't affect you other than it just seems like.
No, I know what you're saying. It's just, the whole thing, it's very well orchestrated. There's money behind it.
Oh, my gosh.
My question is, how come their clothes are better than mine sometimes, and they seem to be pressed and clean, and where the hell are they getting all these cell phones from?
Cell phones? They got daggone, the problem is, what we're not even seeing is this isn't, like you said, orchestrated. The majority of them, you do not travel 1,800 miles without food, water, and clothing, and sleeping, and everything. So they're the same people aren't walking every day. They'll get another group in a bus caravan to go up, and they'll walk their 15, 20 miles, and then the other caravan group will walk. That's how well orchestrated it is. Yep. But yet, Mexico really does need to control its border better, because, you know, if we sit there and put up a border with military.
Well, they're following our good example on the border.
What's that?
They're following our good example for border control. We don't have it.
Well, you're absolutely right. And maybe that's where the, you know, a couple of years ago, whenever there was an issue, and I think it was during the early years of, you know, after Bush, and it was the early years they had of Obama, they had militia going down to the border. I think maybe some militia needs to go down there. I mean, you know, if you're willing to go to a border security area and turn yourself in, okay, there's a process, right? But what's happening, and they've shown it and shown it and shown it, they're causing confusion here to allow this many thousand people down here to get in illegally. Yeah. And you sit there and you have a roving patrols of militia that says, okay, well, you're illegal. You're invading my country. I mean, I don't understand where the Constitution has just gone off the table, just absolutely gone off the table. And whenever you're going to give $450,000 to each person, now my question to you is, does the kid get $452,000? He's a person. She's a person.
Well, the politicians, they'll spend our money like nothing. Did it come out of their wallet? Of course, they're going to give it away to everybody, and you're going to tell them how to vote, too. Trust me on that one. I'll tell you something that really frosts me, is that when you learn about the Constitution and the lawmaking process that takes place, when Congress passes a bill and it says, we're going to give you X amount of dollars to accomplish this task, it is something that the president, by law, constitutional law, cannot say, stop giving that money. It has to go through Congress again to repeal that bill. The president does not have the right, after a bill is signed into law, to repeal
it. Right.
He had his chance to veto it and didn't. So all the Democrats wanted to do when they soon got in, if Trump had anything to do with it, undo it, whether it's good or bad. Look what they did with the diabetics with those pens.
But the problem is...
Let me finish real quick. They, executive order, stopped the funding for the bill, fired all the contractors, and there are miles and miles of the steel constructed pieces sitting there along the border that not being used. So what really gets me, they put their hand on the Bible and it's going to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Not a single one of them is doing it.
Well, issue is, and I agree with you 100%, the issue is that was not legislation. Trump took funds from the military that were never intended to be border wall. Now, he could, and the court said he could. But he did that by executive order. And he did not do that by legislation. So if he did, unfortunately, and I think at the very beginning, he had, I might be wrong, I know he had a Senate that was Republican, but I do believe Democrats controlled the House, if I'm not mistaken.
It was my understanding that there was actually a bill passed through Congress to fund that wall with X amount of dollars allocated to it.
No, because that was why they said he had the right to divert the funds from the military for a border security, national defense type of a situation, okay? But there was not something that was written. Now, you know, he had small amounts. I think he did. Yeah, I got like 2 minutes. I do appreciate it. You can say that out loud if you want. Rich, look at the time. But that's the issue when you have a divided government. In order to do anything, the president has to do something by executive privilege or executive order. And unfortunately, that's a stroke of the pen to reduce that. So, you know, I agree with you. the biggest part with me is they signed contracts with those guys, and I think that did change just a few months ago. But they were paying $5 million a day for them not to do the work because they had a contract. You pay me whether I work or not. You want me to do it. I'm here. I'm willing, able to do this fence. I've got cost. I've had to hire people. So that was written into the contract. I think the government ended up asking them, telling them or whatever, say, you need to let go of some of these people. So it's now $3 million a day. So the government is paying these contractors $3 million a day, or was up until, you know, I've read something that said they canceled the contract. I don't know that you can cancel that just on your own.
They've done everything by the stroke of the pen. They can right. care less.
Well, up until very recently, because they did, you know, I had mentioned that it was $5 million, and then I read an update, and they said, no, it's only $3 million, and that was less than a month ago. So if they've changed it in the less than a month, they're paying those contractors $3 million a day to not build a fence. And you just sit there, and like you said, they're willing to spend our money like it's, you know. And I just had we didn't get to it, and I'll have to say thank you, but the Fed is now saying that we need $1 trillion a quarter extra. So that's $4 trillion they're expecting to have for an ongoing period of time, $4 trillion a year in excess, or basically deficit. And that just adds to our debt. So I got a shirt on that says, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. And who wrote that? That was Thomas Jefferson.
No, I was just going to say that. I was just going to say Thomas Jefferson.
So you need to determine if it's tyranny or not. I think it's tyrannical when you tell somebody they will get something injected in their body. I get until 58. It's 356.
Okay. Not a problem.
So I want to thank
you. There's another little saying out there. Mm-hmm. I forgot who said this, but it's goes something like this. To fertilize the tree of liberty takes the blood of patriots.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my biggest thing. People, they have to decide if it's tyrannical or not, because once you do, you're going to sacrifice everything. And I think that's the problem. We're so comfortable in our life. A little inconvenience to a lot of people is still okay. But a little bit keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. When they start coming to your door and say, you will do what we tell you when we do, there was, and we'll talk about this again. Can you come back on Thursday?
Only if you're nice to me.
I'm nice to you.
Okay.
All right. So we'll talk about this a little bit more. I'm going to do a tax show tomorrow. But we'll talk about it because they're already starting to institute or talk about re-education camps. Where have you heard that term before?
I've heard of that. I believe it was Hitler that did that.
Yes, they did.
No, they're doing it right now in Australia, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. All right, guys, I do appreciate you listening in. Listen, if you want to talk and you want to listen to somebody who's not scared to call a spade or not scared to say anything, tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday here at WKDW 97.5 FM. You know, it's our God-given right, granted under the Constitution, to complain and have our problems addressed by the government. And that means criticizing, complaining, whatever it takes. That is our God-given right. All right, you guys have a wonderful day. After that, all I got to say is, see ya!